You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we are talking Nats baseball with our MLB.com reporter, Jamal Collier. Jamal, welcome back from vacation, and you come back to the news of the Nats and Howie Kendrick agreeing to a two-year deal. He was part of this team last year. What does a full season of Howie Kendrick mean for the Nationals?
Yeah, I mean, it could mean a lot. You know, first off, Howie Kendrick was really valuable for them in that couple of months when they had him since July. He was the guy who would come off the bench. He was their number one kind of right-handed pitch-hitting option. But he also is a guy who fills a lot of multiple roles. He can play some second base, especially if you have Daniel Murphy. You're not sure about his health status coming off the knee surgery in the offseason. You know, you feel really good about Howie Kendrick. He has to play every day to start the year to fill in for Daniel Murphy. You know, Kendrick's another guy you can put into the outfield, play left, take one of the corner outfield spots. So you have a guy who has some versatility with that. We know a guy like Dave Martinez is you know, we don't know exactly who his managerial style is going to be, but if he is kind of like Joe Maddon, those guys like to change things up and rotate players in and out and kind of give guys a rest. And Kendrick, you know, gives the Nats some versatility to be able to come off the bench, to get some at-bats and to start, you know, multiple games if he needs to, but also the guy who can be a huge weapon off the bench. So it's a pretty big signing for the Nationals to bring Howie Kendrick back. And now here we are a month out from camp, and they've kind of got their bench already set.
We've been talking to a lot of writers of NL East teams about what their rotation is going to look like for 2018. And it's really interesting how a lot of teams, you know, it's not the strength and they have a lot of work to do and they're still looking via free agency and potentially a trade as well. Not the Nationals. Their rotation is pretty much set. I know maybe their fifth guy is a little bit in question, but in terms of the top of the rotation, or at least one through four, with Scherzer, Strasburg, Gio, and Tanner Roark, everything seems set. What can we expect, though, from this one through four crew? I mean, can Max Scherzer win the Cy Young every year? No, but what can we expect from him in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, it's really been their strength, you know, dating back really to when this kind of successful run started in 2012. The Nats rotation, I believe, has never finished any lower than seventh in ERA in across baseball. So it's really just kind of been the backbone of this team, and it should be no different this next year. You obviously talk about the two guys, the top two of the top three Cy Young finishers in Scherzer and Strasburg. You joke to say that Max can't win it every year, but so far it kind of seemed like he's on that pace. That every year he's either going to win it or be in contention for it. And really, he's a guy who's so motivated to get better and continue perfecting his craft that I don't think we have any reason to believe that he's due for any kind of drastic drop-off. You know, as far as he stays healthy, you should see another season where Max is going to be right up there with the top pitchers in the National League. We saw what Strasburg can do. If he can keep himself healthy and if he can make somewhere around 30 starts and he can kind of maintain his innings and stuff, and you see just how kind of dominant and good he was at the end of the season. Gio Gonzalez obviously had a really good year. Maybe he can't repeat those exact numbers, but he's proven himself to be a pretty reliable starter. Tanner Roark, he figures to for a little bit of a bounce back after somewhat of a down year last year. I think just really those one through four is going to be as good as anybody, especially in the division and probably in the National League as well. The question marks come at the fifth spot. Not entirely sure how they're going to go about that. They re-signed Edwin Jackson to a minor league deal. He'll have a chance to compete for that spot in spring training. I expect them to probably bring some more veterans in, kind of like that, just to have a chance to go in there and try to push and see if they can earn a spot and see what those guys have left. We combine them with the young pitchers they have, AJ Cole, who we've talked about before. He's performing well kind of at the end of last season. And Derek Fetty is their top pitching prospect. I think when you put those guys together, that's kind of see just exactly what they have. And they know, you know, so rarely do you get through a season with just five starters. Most time you need 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they really want to build some starting pitching depth. I think that's the biggest thing over the next month or so, to watch them try to see how they go about building that depth and see what kind of pitchers they can bring in to make sure if they do have injuries to those top four or even the fifth spot that they are kind of set there to make sure pitching is a strength for them.
All right, so they still have some question marks for that fifth guy in their rotation. But in terms of one through four, what would you say is a question mark of those guys, Scherzer, Strasburg, Gonzalez, and Roark?
You know, health is always a question mark, I guess, with pitchers. Strasburg probably is the biggest one there. I think, you know, if anything, exactly what you're going to get out of, I guess, you know, Gio obviously had a really good year last year, and there were some numbers that could have said that those numbers weren't may have been a little fluky. Just kind of the good ERA he had. There was some numbers that kind of backed him up and said that Gio was, pretty legit last year. I think just exactly where he falls on that spectrum is going to be pretty interesting to watch. I think, you know, with Tanner Roark as well is a guy who is kind of fluctuating. He seems to have a good year and then a bad year and a good year and a bad year. And I think him coming in with a full off season without the World Baseball Classic or without anything to kind of throw off his normal routine, he should be, you know, primed for a good year as well. I think that just the kind of variance there that you're not entirely sure. I mean, those guys have been their number two starter in the playoffs, you know, the last couple of years, Tanner a couple of years ago, last year. But at the same time, you know, Tanner didn't pitch in the playoff series in NLDS this past year after being the number two starter of the year before. So I think that, you know, again, it's just there's kind of some unknown with those guys. But, you know, if healthy, they should still be pretty solid and be a pretty strong rotation.
All right, let's talk about the number three overall prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. Victor Robles, he's a guy that's gotten his fan base so excited, and I know the team's excited about him as well. What can we expect from him this season?
Yeah, the interesting thing about Robles is, one, they've been very clear that he's going to play every day. You know, he's a guy who obviously last year kind of forced their hand he was not expected to be in the majors last year. And he played so well and performed so well in the minors that they called him up for September. And they thought it was going to be a one-month thing, and he'd go off to the Arizona Fall League. And once again, he performed so well in place that they put him on a postseason roster. So at this point, you say he's going to play every day. The Nats outfield is pretty much set in Washington next year. But, you know, as far as it looks right now, he's probably going to start the season in the minors. But once he's shown that he can go out there, and once he starts kind of showing off his skills and showing just kind of the arsenal of talent that he really has, that, you know, he can kind of force their hand a little bit. And, you know, he'll probably start the year, like I said, in AAA Syracuse. He hasn't even had a game in AAA Syracuse yet in his career. But if he continues to play well, you're going to see him as the outfielder of the future at some point in D.C. You know, how soon that comes is going to be particularly up to him and just how well he plays, but it'll also be a guy. Michael Taylor is probably the only outfielder that doesn't have his spot all the way secure. You figure Bryce Harper's obviously not going anywhere. Adam Beaton's got his spot pretty secure. But barring injury, I think the thing to look out for when Robles officially arrives in Washington is going to be kind of just one of how he plays and how Michael Taylor also performs is going to be a big key for him. But I think that you know, like I said, Robles is sooner or later going to be the outfielder of the future in D.C. It's just kind of a matter of when and how quickly that comes.
All right, Nats fans will definitely be looking forward to that. That's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras Nationals Edition. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, so make sure you stay tuned. Thanks, Jamal. Appreciate you joining us.